Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the beginning of the recording. He just pressed the button.
There we go.
Back at it again with another episode of the Shades of Blue Soccer Show. That got us going off there on a great start. We are fresh off the media game. That feels like the place we're going to start here. I can't avoid this discussion.
It's a highlight.
We've got a terrible week of sporting to talk about. Current is doing a continued winning streak. There's some positive.
We got or
some
unbeaten. They did. It was a draw, but still.
We can continue some positive.
They don't like that phrase, remember?
Positive discussion here. But we'll talk Open Cup loss. We'll talk about whatever those two terrible mistakes were in this last game. But we got to start with the media game.
And Chad, your dog is getting too friendly right now.
Oh, up in your lap, huh? Well, Robert, that's just how he says hello.
Okay.
Told you this pod was going to go off the rails.
All right, yeah, let's talk media game. Bad. Yeah. 2-0 victory for our side. We had a wonderful commentary and video by Mr. Chad here.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it.
I don't know if wonderful is the right word. I was trying to be quiet because I was in the press box, so I was like doing this. But trying to be excited but not yell.
But the best moment coming off a field was Thad. Thad walks over to me and says, the best thing I did was fall down.
There was a definite whisper aspect to this video.
I don't know if you could hear the stats guy next to me giggling a little bit at some of the things I was saying, because he and I were like the only people that stayed up there. Everybody else went to play. I will embarrass myself in the KC Current media game on August 19th. Everybody watch halftime.
Okay, well, the jury is out on if Chad was actually making someone laugh with these comments.
He's
talking himself up there.
Oh, I think he was giggling at the play on the field. I don't think it was my commentary.
Oh. All right, back to Thad.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I'm doing something unusual and wearing a sporting something while I'm doing a podcast, because I typically do not do that.
You look good, Thad. I like it.
I appreciate that. but I had to, just to mess with Cody, since he didn't play in the media game.
Finally saw the email, I think.
Yeah. Cody, why did you not get into the media game?
I don't know. I think it's a conspiracy theory. I wasn't invited this year. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I believe what happened, because we were messaging during the game, that he didn't realize he had to sign up and he missed the email. He did go back into his email and find it later. I'm pretty sure I have that in my Slack.
There's something in my mind that this is like the second time that that's happened. Didn't that happen once before? You just missed the email?
Maybe it sounds maybe familiar a little bit.
What y'all are saying is Cody doesn't read his emails or the BlueTestament.com.
Yes. Email. Why don't you just send me a fax while you're at it? Yes. Who uses this?
God, he's calling you old.
It's fine. It wasn't me that the email came from. So.
No, okay. I'm offering two defenses for this. Number one.
Ignorance. Ambivalence.
Three defenses.
Oblivious.
It was the day I got back from vacation.
Lame.
I had a whole bunch. I have a million messages and emails to go through.
You're not that popular.
But my larger point here is that you guys didn't tell me. What is this? No one. How do we have? There were weeks of discussions. No one brought up. Hey, have you signed up for the
media game yet? We didn't want you to be on the other team. We were afraid of you, man.
I think everyone was afraid. Everyone was afraid.
We would have probably been on the same team because all of us were.
Yeah. Well, let's talk tactics, though. Did you find it bizarre that there's 34 players on the field, about, you know, 28 of them on the left-hand side of the field? So that's why I hung it on the right, where there was space and nobody else.
Yeah, I noticed you were dominating, kind of shuttling the ball from the defense to the end of the attack. Yep. Lots of space over there.
Yeah, it's like, come on, people. And figure it out.
And people rarely stay back on defense, so I did that. And Jimmy Mack did, too. So.
Yes, Jimmy did well.
And then one guy that was probably heavier than me did also, so...
That Bell doing a service, staying back on defense. He'll take one for the team there, staying back. And he won't run all the way up the field. He'll
play within your limits.
Hey, I'm a defender by nature. I do that even when I was in much better shape.
Well, shout out to Daniel Sperry.
Well done, Daniel.
Game winning goal.
It didn't look very good. But the ball rolled across the line.
Yeah, he could have missed.
It was a wide open net. He's afraid to use his left foot, though, because he, like, outside of the foot, right foot, slow roller across the goal line. But that celebration, over the boards, high five in the cauldron.
Oh, the almost cliche didn't make celebration?
It, almost didn't make it like back over the boards.
Nobody ever done that?
Ooh, I didn't see the jump back over the – but the jump over the boards was better than the goal. He got over the boards better than getting the ball across the line.
That's adrenaline.
So well done on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
5 seconds of adrenaline.
So you're saying he struggled to get back over on the other side?
He would admit this. We talked about it. His foot clipped the board on the way over, but he didn't eat it. So, I mean, that's more than some of us here can say.
But, hey, kudos for being there, Daniel, so you could finish that, ball. So, well done.
Right place at the right time.
He did a nice little back heel later. So, played some nice little balls.
Yeah, you could tell he's played soccer before, for sure.
So, Chad is talking about the current media game. What are my chances of getting in on this?
I talked pretty to good. Danny, and I said, hey, I can round up some Blue Testament people if you legit want people, even people that don't always cover your team as much as maybe you'd like them to.
Yeah.
And she said, bring them. Let's get them here. So
it
it's like
may that's, inspire
it's,
us.
It's opening the door, right? You're gonna be like, how could I not support this team after you watch what they do to Angel City in that game?
Well, if you don't know, I am now basically like a diehard supporter because I've watched the last 3 games.
Oh, wow. That's diehard, huh?
You've been to one?
I have not yet been to a game.
That's well, he knows where hard. They play.
So I know where they play.
And okay, name 5 players without looking.
Hamilton. I literally have it up right now.
Kristen.
Lola Bonta would be the one that I could give you. And then, is it Kristen Hamilton? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Kristen
yep.
Hamilton? I like her. She's nice.
She is.
She's very good.
You interviewed her, right?
No, not Cody.
Oh, you weren't there for that. Okay.
That's who that was?
Yeah.
Ah, that was man, that day. I missed Beisler and I missed her that day.
Oh, I didn't realize you weren't there. I just assumed these guys were taking the questions.
Did you miss Ike? Or were you there for Ike?
I was there for Ike's. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
No, the games are fun. I watched they were down 2-0, came back, tied it up 2-2.
Who scored the goals?
I'll even put it down. The German chick, the new German chick. Right? Isn't that what you told me?
She's German?
Is she German just because of her last name?
French? Oh.
French, really?
Wait. No.
You know who
the person
means.
Who scored the second goal is from Lee Summit.
Yeah.
Actually, she's from Kansas City. She's not from Lee Summit.
You know why he thinks she's German, right?
Yeah. I know why.
What, is the last name? Well, yeah. Aren't I referencing? I swear you told me that did we just sign her at least?
No.
No. Well, we traded for her
a couple months ago. Person?
You're not a French player we just signed.
Okay.
Claire Lavoisier.
Oh, okay.
This French. They just signed her. She did not get in the game. She did not score a goal. She did not pass go.
Kaiser.
That's
that
why
goal,
you're thinking German.
That second goal was dope.
Yeah.
A little flick chip over the keeper. Yep. That was a great goal.
And the first one? Do you remember who got that?
This is my favorite part of the podcast, watching Cody squirm.
Challenging Cody on things he should know but doesn't. I don't remember the first goal. What happened?
Elise Bennett.
It was a beautiful flick on by Haley Mace out on the right wing.
Yep.
She kind of flicked it past the defenders, put Bennett into space. She raced down to the end line and then kind of cut back and just blasted it low across the keeper. And
I would show you a picture, but it doesn't make for good potting.
So, yes, point being, I'm basically a diehard fan now. And I would like to attend this. No, I'm not a fan. Sorry, that doesn't help my case here. I'm not a fan. I'm a real journalist covering this team.
Oh.
and I help exposure for this team, and I would like to go hang out.
So now when we have pods, we will talk about the current more often.
Don't we? We have been, kind of.
Yeah, I think you allow about 30 seconds at the end of each podcast.
And I usually have to force
it
a little bit.
Well, if we want 50% good news, 50% not so good news, maybe we should.
Yeah,
that'd be a perfect way.
All right, so I have a question, though. I have a dilemma. Okay, if I'm going to be in this media game, which I mean, obviously I'm not going to be like running up and down the field, but if I'm going to be there and on the field, what number should I wear?
Why don't you be a 9? Why don't you be a stay-at-home 9 striker right in front of goal?
What's a center back number? Do I know this? What are the center back numbers?
Yeah, it'd be 3 and 4, typically.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Right, 4 and 5.
I think it depends on which league you're numbering from.
You feel like a 5 to me.
Yeah, there's a guy like named Beasler who wore a 5, right?
Or also a 00. You strike me as a 00.
No.
Okay.
So
I always thought 5 was a right back.
Yeah. For sporting, I usually have worn the 96 the last few times.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Reference to, an original, right?
So do you wear 21?
There you go.
Huh?
21, since Robert that's Houghton when they came into existence.
Would be proud of you.
No, the league.
An original, by original, do you mean Jordy Quintilla?
Jordy stole from Fat. No. I've been doing it longer than Jordy.
Yeah.
That was a deep cut there for anyone who got
no,
that.
No, I got it. And I'm actually the one. You know why he wore the 96?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he was like, oh, I signed for this new team. I'm just going to look up pictures and video and culture and whatever. And he just saw signs that said 96 on it. And he was like, I like that. I'm going to do
that. That was my interview with him.
Oh, really? You're the one that got that info?
Yes.
I knew that, but I didn't know you got it for us.
That has a history.
Of getting good information and nobody knows about it.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Look at his tweet timeline. Like 4 tweets the last month, probably.
When I did the Comets media game, I usually wore 23, and that was actually just more because that was my daughter's number. But I've wore 22 in honor of Davey Arnault also.
For the Comets?
Well, just I've done that for sporting. So I'm just trying to, like, which number should I wear for the current? Should I wear the 23, my daughter's number? Should I wear...
It's a good shout.
12 for the best player, my favorite player of all time in the NWSL?
Which is?
I was waiting for you to ask.
I'm assuming it's Lauren
Holiday. Lauren Holiday.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely deserves more credit than what she's ever gotten.
My question, of course, is what can I get out of this? Do I get a jersey? Will it be done the same as Sporting Kansas City? Do I get one of these cool jerseys?
Yes.
There's something.
The email does say you get a customized jersey, Cody. So
you're allowed to forward me this email and I can respond to it?
I literally put it in the Slack yesterday.
Okay. He doesn't read that either.
Doesn't read the Slack. Doesn't read Sporting's emails.
Oh, boy. Cody. Okay.
Which
Slack
channel?
Piss on Cody? Podcast,
which you don't, you're probably not channel? In the KC Current channel.
Oh, no,
in our
I have
Slack.
It's muted. Okay, no. I have the Swell Park Rangers one.
Should we tell them it's not open until the 5th?
sure. Yeah.
No, guys, that was my joke though. Is the about not getting emails ever? Send me a fax. Is because I live my work life on Slack, so I'm very likely to miss some Slack images or Slack messages because I have to comb through a mountain every day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the current media game, Friday, August 19th. See Cody. Be there.
That's right.
He's going to carry the team.
I'm going to press the team. I'm going to press Hamilton.
They're going to try to break 10,000 fans, too. They're really pushing. Yes, they've already been pushing it, and I think it's possible.
You Angel get three City. Tickets with your media game thing, don't you? Three?
Yes, three.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Up to three.
Well, invite
up
my
to
mom.
Three besides yourself.
Yes.
Since you don't have a credential.
My mom will totally go to that.
I don't have a credential either.
We're going to get you boys covering the team.
Hey, Kristen Hamilton keeps playing like that. I'm in.
She didn't even score a goal, man. It was that German chick.
the German chick from Lee Summit.
To be fair, CeCe was just traded back to, or, traded to the Kansas City Current. So it's not entirely improbable that you wouldn't know that, but it's not like you know any of the other players that have been on the team for all 2 years of its existence.
No, I definitely knew
this. It's not just. It's been like a month and a half or 2 months now.
Yeah.
I absolutely knew this because I remember him telling, we had this conversation already. What high school did this girl from Lee Summit go to? I remember this conversation now.
Actually, she's not from Lee Summit. Addison American is.
Isn't she like a Kansas person, maybe? Overland Park or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Make sure you Sorry, ask Casey Current for this podcast.
Addison Merrick was, I think, Lee Summit North. JC Johnson was a Lee Summit West. So she's also on the team.
Thank you for that little tidbit at the end I was about to ask.
And then, of course, AD is from Salina, yep. Kansas. So.
That would be AD French.
The goalkeeper.
Salina? Have I been saying that wrong my whole life? Okay.
I believe that's how it's pronounced, right? I sat next to a guy that worked for a newspaper in Salina. No. I've never been there. I don't know where it's at. Somewhere in Kansas. Several hours away.
Sporting KC.
Yes, sir.
Should we talk about Sporting Kansas City?
Let's do it. Do we have to?
Should we recap actually the current game, though, that they did make the two-goal comeback? They went down two goals, made a tremendous comeback.
And continued the unbeaten run to seven? Eight games. Yep.
And they're currently sitting in sixth place, which is in the playoffs.
The last playoff spot.
They were terrible their first five games of the regular season, but since then they've been undefeated. They've won five of those eight games, I believe.
Don't put me on the spot, then.
I'm not.
Hashtag Teal Rising.
There you go.
That's right. Good job.
Boom.
Yeah, honestly, I think they should have won the game. To give them some credit here, they were all over Orlando the whole game. Kind of some flubs that led to the goals for Orlando, I would say. Yeah. And to Matt Potter's credit, the coach for the KC Current, made a tactical adjustment, switched formations at the half, came out, went into a 4-3-3. They usually play like a 3-5-2. I don't know what you would call that. It's hard to know what that formation is, and Matt won't tell us. So
no.
Well, I was going to let it go, but since you brought up the flubs on the goal, French, keeper, issues.
Honestly, she's played really well. She got a cleat to the gut there from her teammate.
From her own team, yes, yeah. I saw that. And yes, I know she is applauded for being better among the league, I think, right? Yes, I think she
won save of the week 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Yes.
And she might win again. She had a pretty good save late in the game, kind of right down on the end line.
Yeah, this is no knock on her, an individual player. It's just on keepers in general.
Oh,
I'm just knocking keepers in general here.
Does Cody have a keeper thing?
You know what's going to be good?
I'm just saying.
At the media game, even though you're probably the most fit, fastest player from
us,
let's put him in goal.
Put him in goal.
Make him play goalkeeper.
Say that louder.
I don't know if it's too high of a bar. Maybe Robert could fight you on fitness over here, but Thad and I are not going
to. No, I need to show off my skills to the team that will be in the locker room.
I'm starting my training regimen as soon as you all leave. I'm going to the basement. I'm getting on the elliptical or the treadmill.
I'm glad you added that part.
What did you think was going to happen in the basement?
Okay. Are we done with the current?
Yes.
Let's move on. I don't want to step on the toes there. I won't rag on France for laying on the ground for too long on that play and letting that ball go in the net. Well, we can move on. So Sporting Kansas City?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Let's rag on another goalkeeper. Oh.
Yeah, do we start? Do we need to revisit the penalty kicks? Do we need to talk about that game? A long time has passed. We haven't had a podcast since then.
But okay.
No, I know. But I'm saying, do we need to jump back and revisit this game?
Should at least mention it, right? Right. 120 minutes, 30 something shots.
Let's get in. Let's make sure to get in some criticism here, because I have fair criticism from this game. So I am bothered. I know, like, hindsight, whatever. I am bothered that Kyrie Shelton started the game. I know you guys will just disagree and be like, that was inevitable, whatever. Something could have happened. Anyone, any other thing. I know Jonice isn't impressing, whatever. I'm just, bottom line, I'm disappointed Kyrie started that game.
Agreed.
That hurt.
Agreed.
I think Robert and I both wrote stories predicting they should do something else. I think we both predicted Shalloway, actually.
And while I have often been on board with, you know, we talk about on the show often, Peter Vermees's mentality is making a sub can change the flow of a game, and he's going to stick with players. If he thinks his team has shown a reason to get the goal, he'll stick with those players. And Sporting did show, I mean, there were moments Daniel hit the crossbar, like there were moments that it was there. So he stuck with this old team. But then, yeah, I mean, Zusi taking the five kick for me is a problem. And that Remy wasn't in there at all. That's the mistake on the penalty kicks for me.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that. And I think if you have some fresh legs on there, I mean, I was harping on it. I think we all harp on it. Like, I can't believe they didn't make some subs in that game. Because the one sub that they made, well, they made a couple, but, like, Felipe absolutely was changing the game. Mm-hmm. He was running end-to-end. He was opening things up. And I don't know why you can't trust Caden Pierre, et cetera. You lost anyways, so.
But would you guys have felt better if Caden Pierre was walking up to take that fifth kick than if it was
No,
easy?
I mean, he's not going to take that penalty, but I'm just saying from a, they could have ended it before we went to 120 minutes.
I'd have rather Fontas took the kick.
Yeah.
Because Zusi has missed a penalty kick in one of these run-ups, right?
If I recall correctly.
You don't put that guy at the number five spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to put him in the rotation, it's not at the number five. That's the last place you're
Now, playing. I agree, but, like, then look around at the other five there. There's so many players you would say you can't put him in the fifth spot. I wouldn't want to put Willy Agata, even though our striker, I wouldn't want to put him in the fifth.
You think you don't want to put Shallow?
Well, he had already taken a shot.
I know, but that's what
he's
saying.
He's saying, like, in changing the shuffle.
Making
order.
The order here. Like, yeah.
I think you would bookend Shallowy and Russell, your two best finishers. Not that Shallowy.
Yeah.
Proved it Saturday night, but he did.
PK in the Sacramento game was
Sacramento.
Fantastic.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Where was that on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, there's fair criticism there, but.
Well, I mean, think about it. He has missed some in pressure situations before, so you put him in the most pressure situation you can.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Objectively, it is just not a good idea.
He's 2 of 5 now in shootouts is what the stat Mike put out. He's made to miss three.
That is, that's worse than I was actually thinking. I was just kind of
thinking it was like 3 and 6, but
it's 3 and 6 when you count some other penalty. I don't know what it was. He said when it wasn't a shootout. I don't know what that would have been.
Yeah, that's a.
But you know, it never should have gotten there, like you implied.
Right.
But still, yeah.
Right. So I'll play the devil's advocate role here. The lineup he put out there was definitely good enough to win. They outshot him by a ton.
Yeah.
The Sacramento did an amazingly good job of keeping the defense in there and blocking shots because what their keeper made out of 31 shots that Sporting made, it was, I think it was like 8 saves their keeper made, something like another 8 blocks in there. So then the other ones were just the ones, I'm sure Chad's looking this up to verify whatever I'm misstating now.
No, you're fine. Keep going.
But they did enough to have won the game. They just couldn't finish again. So, no, I mean, it's like everybody is snake bit. They can't finish now.
Right.
If you have 31 shots, one of them should have freaking went in.
Should Willy Agata have just started that game?
I think we had this debate last week that maybe the fitness wasn't there, and then that bore itself out on Saturday.
Now that we have these glasses on, should he have just started that game?
I guess if you score early, then it looks great, right? Because it didn't work with him coming out onto the field. I don't know if you all saw that. Like, he really struggled against Sacramento, and I think it was because they were bunkering. They were playing so deep. Right. It'll be interesting to see if he can break that down or get better at that style of play. But when they've been trailing, both other times he subbed into games. Well, I'm sorry, he did not sub in. He started on the weekend. They're putting those long balls up to him or balls over the top. He looks really good in those situations. But Sacramento had so many people back, that didn't really exist. And the time it did exist was at the beginning of extra time when I was screaming into my Twitter for subs. And he made 2 great runs, but he was down there by himself. Mm-hmm. No one was with him because they didn't have the legs to get down there with him. So he had no one to lay it off to. No help.
Well, the biggest issue I had with the Sacramento lineup is just it's so predictable. You got Russell and Shallowy on the wings doing their thing, but it's predictable. You got Shelton in the middle who's not creating a whole lot off the ball, etc. So predictable. You know, they had an easier job defensively because of that in my mind.
Yeah, it was like the game plan was to rely on Johnny's tricks to just, like, work one time going into
worked against Union Omaha, but Union Omaha is a different side, so.
Yeah, and Union Omaha, I feel like they came to play a little bit more, came out a little bit. Sacramento was trying to, like, kind of hit on the counter a little bit, but they were definitely keeping bodies back and playing more defensively sound.
And they were good at it. But in some fairness, they already knocked off 2 MLS teams, including LA at LA. So, I mean, it's not like they haven't already been playing well.
But to pick on Sporting, those were not the top part of those squads. Like, I think it was San Jose as well that they beat, and they rotated their lineups pretty heavily, and Sporting put what you would assume are mostly starters on the field for that game.
So, see, we didn't rotate everybody like those teams did, and they still lost them.
Yeah, it's just still mind-blowing to me, though, not bringing Duke on the trip. I don't care what he did in the last game, but his versatility was a big tool that could have been used in this game, and I don't understand not putting John East at some point. I know he's not producing, but he's unpredictable. He does different things. You know,
I mean, yeah,
chaos.
I don't know. I thought that this would spark like a very long discussion that we didn't need to get into for this podcast, but I almost think that the fact that he didn't put in John East shows me that like he did something that pissed Vermees off, or like that there was more than just like that we saw the mediocre game and a half that he played in that spot, or
and he must have had a hell of a training on Thursday and Friday to play Saturday night then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I'm confused about that, because it's like you would have felt like how do you not put in John East at some point in that game?
I think it was just the plan.
Something has like genuinely happened.
It was just the plan. I mean, we can disagree with the plan, but I think it was just the plan they had of here how they were approaching those games with the amount of rest guys had and, you know, their stats, their little computerized statistics on how fitness is and all that type of stuff. It's just it was their plan. I don't agree with it. I'm not saying I agree with it. So
yeah, I mean, but it's a cup semifinal. Your season, really, you got to throw everything you've got at that, and I don't think we did.
They threw their best starters. In Peter's mind.
But when
so they did.
When it didn't produce a goal, though, make a change.
But, I mean, you could say they didn't throw everything at it, but yeah. Johnny Russell and Daniel Shalloway and Kyrie Shelton is Peter's preferred three starters. They did throw everything at it in that regard. So, I mean...
Well, the preferred three, we disagree with.
I'm not arguing.
Yeah. Oh, no, no,
Sporting
no,
KC
I know you're not.
Subreddit
I'm just
is
saying.
Screaming at you right now. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm sure I'm in a... Vermees apologist or whatever, but I mean, I always do have to play at least
the
a little bit
advocate.
Other side.
That's fine.
I'm not saying that's what I would have done.
Right, right.
I mean, there's a lot of time, a lot of things I do in my life is I try to understand why people do what they do.
Sure.
Now, I don't have to agree with it, but at least it makes it a little softer when I kind of understand why I think they're doing what they're doing. I would coach this team differently than Peter does, but I understand why he does what he does.
So is this leading? Oh, go ahead.
He's been successful at it for the most part, just not this year.
So I think Thad makes a really good point when he said the word plan. It's Peter's plan. If you've ever watched the way he goes into games, and he even talked about it in the post-game presser after the Austin game on the weekend, he always has a plan. Yeah. Often when he's going to make subs, and he doesn't deviate from it. He was pretty annoyed in the postgame one with Austin. He seemed upset that his plan had gone awry against Austin because of the Cam Duke red card, and we'll revisit that, I'm sure. But, like, he had this whole plan, and he didn't do it because the red card changed the way he had to use his subs. And I don't know that he's that great at deviating from his own plan and adjusting on the fly, and I think that's maybe the biggest criticism of Vermees
across the board. Yeah, that's been the long for... 5-6 years now, I feel like that's been the criticism of him, right?
His greatest strength is he has a plan, he has a vision,
the
he has a system, exactly. His greatest weakness is he has a plan, he has a system. I heard a quote recently that I wanted to use for this, and I can't remember the exact quote, so I'm going to insert X here because I can't remember it. Sorry.
But did you say the quote? Did I just miss the quote?
No, I didn't.
Are we going to splice it in later? I don't know.
I'm inserting in some unquote that makes sense to somebody.
How about paraphrase? Paraphrase. Can you paraphrase this quote?
It's along that lines of what I was saying is, you know, your strength is your weakness is your strength. It's along that line. It's just sounded better than that.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that, man. I love you, too.
We'll find it by the end of the pod.
So I'll wrap up this game's discussion. And I'll segue into the next game discussion by talking about youth and youthful mistakes.
The Utes.
And I have alluded to this on this podcast before about Felipe Hernandez and some of the art of shithousery that he seems to specialize in. And we have seen some issues with him all season long and some, you know, I guess I won't even bring up off of the field problems that have gone on there. But I have seen things on the field on a regular basis that show me, I guess I don't even know how, that it's not a player that I want on my team.
Felipe Hernandez. Are we talking about the same player?
Well, let him elaborate.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you want?
Do elaborate.
No, and I think
we're all looking at you like, what?
I think people forget about some of the thing. It wasn't even him that scored a goal, but he ran by the keeper and smacked the keeper on the head.
I think smack is a strong word.
Oh, no. He smacked him on the head. The keeper flopped around and did some crazy stuff that
he caressed
that he didn't need to do.
But
tussling
his hair.
That is some shithousery.
He just slipped his hand over.
Good, Cody.
That is shithousery that you see in other leagues that I don't want to see in this league. And then I guess maybe I'm forgetting some of my other examples here. But the one in the one in this game was he scored his PK and then yelled at the keeper.
Oh, the Sacramento game. Okay. All right. Yep.
He did do that, and he got a yellow
and
for it.
What is,
which I didn't even know you could get a yellow
he
for
got a,
screaming
he got a
like
yellow
that.
For it.
Sportsmanlike.
Now, if there is one thing you don't want to do in penalty kicks, it's amp up the other team's keeper. Give the other team's keeper a reason to want to get back at you or be into this next moment.
You mean do backflips?
Okay. I got an issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the backflip. I have an issue with people making a big deal of it. That's Willy Agata's personality.
It was
just what he does.
That
he didn't do it.
Well, we
anything.
Don't know what he does because we've only seen him for,
Yeah, we know
second.
He's got a bubbly personality, though.
Willy's backflips are one thing. Not my favorite thing in the world, but whatever. It was a crazy moment that had happened for him. His first thing in this league.
Right.
Whatever. I'm not bothered by him.
But
he
had just missed a PK right before that, before he got lucky and got to retake it.
Back to Felipe.
That wasn't my favorite thing, but whatever. That's one thing. Felipe yelling at the keeper there, and then that keeper gets amped up and goes and makes the very next save that he has an opportunity to do. That for me was not a small thing. I was looking at that that was what I woke up thinking about the next day, because we've seen Felipe do some of these things like this before.
Interesting.
And he's one of the options of what do we do this upcoming season. And, if he is gone, I'm not going to be bothered by that.
Really?
I would.
Me too.
I understand. I like what he can do at times, and he's shown a lot. But also, I think at one point, maybe we thought what we have seen so far, we thought we would get more, and we wouldn't get some of this other stuff that has come with it.
Interesting. And I wonder if Peter or anybody has a conversation with him, behind the scenes and kind of says, hey, maybe that's not how we act. But
can someone help me out? There's another moment that I'm forgetting that I'm not. He did something that I'm just not.
I'm a
that's skipping
Felipe
my mind.
Apologist, so I probably have blocked it out.
I mean, I like him, too. I just this is an aspect.
You're
that really
hiding that
me.
Like pretty well.
This is it's an aspect that really bothers me. And hey, we get criticism for not being negative enough, and I think we are negative. We hold negative thoughts about this team in our head. We just don't necessarily always say them.
Are you just being hot take, Cody, right now?
No, this is if you look me in the eye and know that I believe all of this to be true.
So, let me say that I agree with you to a certain extent on some of that. The hit on the keeper was absolutely stupid. To be honest, I don't even remember him yelling. I just knew he got a yellow card, so I totally spaced that out, probably because I was pissed off about something.
It was ugly and childish.
And, yeah, maybe.
Run around and yell at your teammates, please. You don't need to do that. I didn't like it.
Did he even yell at the keeper? I guess I don't know what he said.
He took a step and leaned in and yelled directly at the keeper. I thought it was more at the crowd.
I thought it was to the crowd.
No, I think it was a direct, fuck you kind of thing that he yelled. I think it was directly at him.
Well, at least he didn't take his shirt off. But there's a certain level of shithousery I'm okay with, and there's a certain level of shithousery I'm not okay with.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
The constant delaying and all that kind of shit, it just pisses me off. Talking trash on the field a little bit, I'm okay with a little bit, not a lot, because it always seems to come back to bite you. I mean, talk shit after the game.
Fair. I always wonder, because there's baseball. There's all these unwritten rules of baseball. Maybe there's unwritten rules of soccer that I'm not aware of.
Of course.
But I love the bat flips and stuff like that. But then, they'll hit a guy the next time he comes up or whatever.
Yeah, because baseball's old-fashioned
and
boring.
Exactly.
Yeah, screw those guys.
Exactly. I like, kind of to that point, I like a little bit of shithousery in my game, except for the time-wasting BS FC mm-hmm. Dallas way that football is played. So
Red Bull.
Yeah, I know. You have heard me on this show applaud shithousery before, but I don't know. I guess the brand that I have seen some of those things he has done is not my brand of shithousery.
Interesting.
And that's okay. And but I don't think it's excessive. I don't think he's done it like so often that it's.
But he's young, and has he had that much opportunity to do it? Like,
well, he's played a fair amount this year.
I know.
Yeah, both times.
I know he's still young.
It's been to goalkeepers, Cody's favorite position.
Yeah, you should appreciate that.
Yeah, maybe he's like secretly trying to help you out. He's smacking those trees on the back of the head and whatnot.
I'm not going to lie, that was a valid point. You got me on that one.
Good job, Robert.
Okay, so that can transition us into youthful mistakes into this game, which is the biggest theme of this one for sure.
Undoubtedly.
Cam.
Cam or like, yeah, Cam's was bad, but Bulls camp, the mistake. That's just
great. Graham Zusi's youthful mistake on the second goal, keeping Drew Yussi onside.
That's not necessarily youthful.
Yeah, I know.
But okay.
Well, I'm intentionally doing it.
I would only disagree with that.
Slightly.
I would only disagree with that just because they seem to be doing so well of pulling them off sides. The rest of
Zusi got on five. Yeah.
So yeah, he dropped one, I guess.
Caden Pierre was keeping him offside. So.
Okay. Cam Duke. Someone say something about Cam Duke here.
Well, okay.
Robert, you defend him. You wanted him to play.
I'm not necessarily defending him. I'm just saying that, you know, that first yellow I thought was pretty soft. But he knew he was on it, what he did.
Yeah.
Was clearly going to get him a second yellow. He just was not thinking in that moment at all. So I'm not defending him. But
okay, you can argue that the first one was soft, but it wasn't even. I didn't even necessarily feel. I didn't feel hard done by that first yellow.
Okay, yeah, yellow I will. For me. I will step up as his defense attorney.
Oh
okay.
Wow.
Okay. Because I'm the guy who has to do this. Because
David is not here.
Right.
Why don't we do? This is a segment we need to do every week where David defends someone.
Yeah. No, you're right. We should have just a trial every time, every game.
He's a prosecutor, not a defender.
Right. So we put someone on trial. He needs to prosecute someone.
Okay. Okay. We'll bring that next week.
Well, reverse the roles.
Yeah. He can flip around. Yeah.
That's an apologist. That'll be the defense attorney.
All right. Go, Thad.
Not an apologist, but how many times have we watched an opponent of Sporting hammer a Sporting player, finally get the yellow card, 3 minutes later, hammer a Sporting player and go, and some referee just waves his finger, I told you, you're not supposed to do that again.
Yeah.
And it's time after time after time. And I mean, we've seen it multiple times in a game, New York. It's just the way it is sometimes. You don't actually expect, my personal belief is, referees should not care whether it was 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 45 minutes away from that previous yellow card. And it shouldn't be 3, 5, 7, 9 warnings, right? But if that's the standard that most refs apply, that's what you play to. I will say that in his defense, he's probably not expecting that even just a little bit of shithousery will get him a second yellow 3 minutes after he got the first one.
That's fine. I understand that. That's a valid point you're making.
Reasonable expectation.
But I would say the foul that happened is just, you cannot not give a yellow card for that. Like, I understand the referee will often be like, oh, like, that was a bad foul, but, like, I just gave you a yellow. Like, that's your, you know, you got lucky. That's your one chance. But
we
literally jumping on top
hammered.
Of a player and dragging him down. Like, that was...
Well, let's get inside the head of the referee. I'm sure he was thinking, what an idiot. I got to give him a second yellow now.
Yeah. I don't know how... Like, literally, he's making me give him a second yellow card right now. Like,
yeah, it's the type of foul. If he just commits a foul like he did on the first one, which I think, again, I wasn't hard done by that yellow either. I think that was fair. It's like they're countering. He slides under him.
Yeah.
Sure. But the second one... It's a point of emphasis this year to give yellows when you pull a guy back, and they've been relatively consistent about giving yellows in that situation. Relatively, I say, because there's always the nuance of one ref or another, but for the most part, they give it, which has been interesting because as I watch MLS, and it's a point of emphasis in MLS, and then I watch other leagues, and they're not giving yellows for that, I'm like screaming at my television, and then I realize, I guess that's supposed to be a yellow, but maybe they're not emphasizing it in this league or this group of referees or whatever. So
yeah.
How many times we've watched MLS and they said that they were having an emphasis on some particular type of foul and it lasted for 3-6 weeks and then it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people were right back to doing exactly what they were doing the previous year. So
that's fair.
Until MLS consistently applies that emphasis for a couple of 3 years, screw them.
You know, quick sidebar on that. One that they have enforced that stuck was the kicking of the ball away. Yes,
that's another one this year.
That's one rule they were like, we're going to do that this year. And I was like, I doubt it. And but they've been doing it.
I like it. No, that's not been consistent either.
There's been some misses where they won't always give it, but they give it the vast majority of the time, I would say.
Yeah,
I will say they've been giving it more than they have in previous years, but I'm not even going to go with vast majority of the time. Huh. There's been teams that have just kicked the ball away, rolled it away, you know, picked the ball up and tossed it back behind them plenty, and referees have ignored it. So
yeah, I think it depends like to an egregious thing too, because if you pick it up a little bit and then you like kind of just lightly roll it or set it down near where you're at, they don't tend to give that. But the kicking it away pretty consistently.
Yeah,
they give it.
If it's a long kick, I will say yes.
Oh, long kick for sure. But if it's a light kick away from where it's supposed to be, they've even been giving that pretty decently. Yeah. I think so.
Robert, you're over here looking at a very big chart and stats. You've been looking at this page for a long time. Are you going to come at us with some good numbers here?
Oh, I will eventually if we get there.
Yeah. Well, let's move on, because I'm just going to start bitching about Pulse Camp soon if we don't if you don't offer something here.
Well, I was just looking at Caden Pierre and Zuzi's stats. You know, Pierre, I love him. You know, he's going forward. Yeah. He works his butt off. He's good on the ball. Really good stuff.
He's a reason they could let Lindsay go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yep. But, you know, he just doesn't have his nuance in his game like Graham does as far as penetrating passes. He's not the crosser that Graham is. So I think it's a good balance right now. Obviously, the rest of the season, hope Caden gets the vast majority of the minutes. But, you know, there is certainly improvement in his game, and I hope Graham is schooling him on these things. But I'm really excited about the kid's potential.
I love him. He's great. Like, is that weird to say about a 19-year-old kid?
Caden all day.
Yeah, I remember when the Lindsay trade went down. You know how when these trades happen, I always write these articles that on thebluetestament.com, by the way, where I try to, like, justify why could they have done this? What's the logic behind this? And, like, my main thing I was leaning on was because Caden's ready. They're ready to put him on the field and play him. And it did take a while this year for him to get on, and obviously it was aided by injuries. And I actually heard an interview with him where he was talking about he was, like, motivated. He was upset that at the beginning of the year when Zusi was injured, that he wasn't the guy that stepped in, that Cam Duke was on the field and took that spot, so that he found that as motivation.
Yeah, and I think he was ready to be the backup, and that's what he's been. So he's the right back of the future.
Is the future now.
For this team, this season, it is.
Come on, they're still not mathematically eliminated.
I'm sure Graham will get significant minutes, but I do hope Caden gets the vast majority of them, but we'll see.
Speaking of Caden Pierre, Thad and I interviewed him last 2 weeks ago.
Recently.
That was a good interview. He's a good kid. I liked him.
He's also nice. Heavily motivated by not making the U-20 CONCACAF championship team.
And we discussed that.
And I believe you all threw whoever played right back in that game under the bus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because actually, I don't remember who it was now, but they did actually suck. The whole time that I was watching those games, I was like, fuck, Caden Pierre would be so much better.
You know, what's funny is when he was with the U-20s, the cycle before that, when they called him in, he was so good. So good. I was like, what did he do to not get called in? My only thing I could think is he just wasn't playing consistently because he couldn't be with the twos because of all the injuries. So he's sitting the bench a lot for Sporting. Yep. So I'm glad to see he's finally getting in games.
I actually thought that maybe Sporting had said we need him because of being shorthanded early in the season with injuries and stuff. But I've been told that's not the case.
So he wasn't called up at all.
Right. But, hey, I'm not even sure if it's the same coach from each cycle, though, because they've changed so many coaches. And that may be just coaches favor different people.
Have we hit rock bottom, Thad?
No. They could be really, really bad.
We had a – we are really, really bad. We had a conversation. We had a podcast that we called The Low Point of the Season, and we were sure – that we were going to improve from there. But I think the elimination from the Open Cup, and then the 10-man loss in just embarrassing fashion.
And five straight home losses.
Yeah.
Is that a franchise record? Or
I think we've done it once before, I think.
Okay. Level of franchise record.
But how many minutes now without scoring?
Yeah, that's
somebody
the bad
queue
one.
Up Mike's stat.
That is the
I'm
bad
literally
one.
Pulling up Mike's Twitter right now.
Mike's stat.
Is it 400 and something?
Why have we not got him to record just a 2-minute thing every time?
Yes, right? It was 400. It was into the 400s, if I recall correctly.
It was like 6 or 7 games at this point.
Yeah, so I'm calling it. This is a new low point. It is rock bottom.
And SKC 2 is following the first team.
Yeah, I've got it. 417 minutes since Sporting has scored a goal. 290 minutes since Sporting Kansas City 2 has scored a goal. Combined, 707, nearly 12 hours of soccer with no goals from these two teams.
Boom.
Mike stat.
Boom.
You need a sad one there, man.
Boom.
Oh, wait, I got one. Hold on.
Yeah, that's better.
There we go.
So, okay. So, to say that we were absolutely at the low point of the rock bottom now, no. They could be even worse. They could be shipping goals at like 5 a game. There are at least periods of play in each game. Because I know we've talked about this before. They're good until they're not, or they're in it until they're not, or whatever phrase we were using. And they're still like that. I mean, they weren't like getting killed by Austin.
A could be worse doesn't change a new low point, though. I guess maybe not rock bottom. I guess that's not fair because they could keep sinking. But this is a new low point.
I'll agree with that. They're at the lowest point of this season. They're at the lowest point of several seasons, perhaps. I got to go back and compare 2019, but anyway, they're at a very low point. Completely agree.
If they get the wooden spoon, that's rock bottom of Sporting Kansas City.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
We're at a point
by definition.
0.83 points per game.
The wooden spoon is by definition rock bottom, I guess. So
we've been having
in 2019, we ended with, I'll look it up here. Go ahead, Zed.
2019, that was the good year.
We have, while Robert looks that up, we've been having a discussion in the comments on the Blue Testament, and I forget who started it, so my apologies, that this is the best worst team they've ever seen. And I think it's a good analogy, right? Against LAFC, really good that first half. Against Austin, very good until they were giving up a lot of goals that were offside, but they didn't count. And then very good until the red card, right? And then it all just kind of goes off the rails. And even the goal that went in was a mistake, and Poelscamp admitted it. And it's, obviously,
It was soft. It was a mistake. It was not because they made a good shot.
Right.
So 2019, 1.12 points per game.
Wow.
So 0.83 right now.
Thad, you're more of my historian. What is the Wizards team that was really bad? What year was that?
99.
And then so the 99ers mean something wildly different for the Sporting.
And then in 2000, they were pretty good.
Hey, is that a foreshadowing?
Probably not, but...
by the way, I know this is an accurate partial information sort of podcast, but I did look it up.
There is
a new U-20s coach. It used to be Anthony Hudson, who I believe was the Rapids coach for a hot minute.
That would explain why they're bad.
But that's when Pierre was called up and played really well. Now it's Mikey Varas. I'm not sure how you say his name.
So. Yeah, no, he's not a bad coach.
I'll let Robert go in a second, but I want to point out here, if you just felt that pushback from Thad there on accurate partial information, Thad is adamant that is not our podcast anymore, and that is not our slogan.
I never liked it.
He does not want part of this conversation anymore. So I just want to point that out for our listeners.
I mean, to be fair, sometimes we just don't know something. We have to look it up.
We just don't have it right at our fingertips.
Yeah. All right, 1999, boys. Whoa. 8.24.63 points per game.
Right. We could achieve that.
We could.
There's 11 10 games
We could go do the math, and we'll see if we could achieve that. I don't think they will. This is like the low point or whatever, but will Eric Tommy, will Willie Agata give this team a little bit of a boost? I'm not saying they're going to make a run to the playoffs or any of that shit. I mean, is it feasible still? Possible, but will they win a few games? Will they get some improvement?
I'm surprised we haven't talked Willie Agata versus Kyrie Shelton.
There's no question. What is the question there?
I love Kyrie, but I want to see Agata.
We just signed a new player.
Right. He's 22 years old. But until Agata produces, arguably he's doing some things better. Arguably.
He could go 5 games without scoring, and he would produce at the same level of Kyrie.
He could go, how many games are we into the season? 21 games? No, more than that. 24 games in? He can go 24 games without scoring, and then, that would be...
Yes, but we want better than Kyrie. Oh, okay. We don't want the same.
Kyrie's only scored in the Open Cup, isn't it?
Yes, 2 Open Cup goals this year, I believe.
Yeah. And how many shots on goal? You know,
right. It's like,
what would his expected goals be versus Willie's expected goals at this point? Again, I love Kyrie, and he's gotten a bad rap for a lot of time, but he is at a low point himself. And I don't want to sit there and badmouth a guy. And he looked so depressed when I saw him the other day. But
yeah,
he did in the locker room.
Yeah, I went by and said, "Hope you're doing well, man."
Yeah,
I saw Roger at Tin Roof after the loss, and just gave him like a 120 minutes, man. Valiant. Good stuff. But he recognized me. That's really why I'm telling this story. I wanted everyone to know that he recognized me in public.
Nice.
Man, you feel special now, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you should.
All right, we're approaching 50 minutes here, boys. Do we have any final thoughts here?
Sporting will defeat the LA Galaxy 2-1. Calling it right now.
You know what? That will probably happen because I won't be there.
Are you the reason they've been losing all their games?
I've been bad luck for a lot of stuff.
I'm going to go to this one. Can I apply already? Can I apply yet?
Yeah, you can apply weeks out to go to these games, Cody.
I know, but so that's the other aspect of why I've gone to less games this year. One, that I have to apply for every game, and then it's the day before game, and I realize I didn't do it in time. And two, we have an army of Blue Testament people here, and we would have like 5 people, yeah, 6 people in the press box every single game if all of us were requested. Poor Thad's been asking for
who's doing the SKC recap this week. Nobody volunteering.
Yeah, poor Chad had to do recap this week.
I know. I hate having to write those things.
Plus, he writes so damn much that I try not to ask him ever do a recap.
That was my point at that. I said, I'm going to the game, but I'm going to wait and see if someone else will take this. But if they won't, I'll write
it. Right? Is that the hardest thing we do is the recap?
I don't think so. No. Well,
it is and it isn't.
I don't do them very well, so I can write like a play-by-play of what happened in the game, capture some GIFs, you know, drop that in there. I can do that.
The shtick that I go for on this show is just so the opposite of like a formal match recap that you're going to read.
I would like to not do it.
Every the opposite.
Everybody has their own recap style, and mine kind of varies, but mostly it's slow. But
that is your style. It'll be at about 4 a.m. after the game is over.
Some games it's out there pretty quick, but some games I was just depressed, man. I was like so struggling to write something that wasn't just being
snarky,
bad. So if you just write something that says, here's what happened, here's what mattered, you know, the basic idea of the game, the couple high points, whether it's a goal or 2 or 3, and then that's it. 150 minimum words, 250 is better, 400 is even better, but anywhere from 150 to 250 is enough.
All right, I'll cut them back. I'm sorry.
No, go wild,
but,
Robert.
But see, we'll talk about this off air. But so, Cody, what I'm hearing is,
want to hear this.
I was actually thinking, gosh, this makes for best podcast, right? Let's talk about how we write articles, how the sausage is made over
Dude,
at the Blue Testament.
I bet people do want to hear that shit. But
it's
okay,
no, I've listened to stuff like that. I mean, so it's really not that bad. I'm
but
just
at
going
the same
for,
time,
because of length.
But you are, you're a writer. You know, that maybe it appeals to you more. Like I listened to an Allocation Disorder podcast the other day, and they were talking about like breaking news and being a reporter that's out there trying to break news, and I was fascinated by it. But then I don't know that it's as appealing to someone who's not, you know,
tangentially
related.
No, it's not
going to
be appealing
to
everybody. I get that, but I'm just always interested in how things are done. If people, you know, the behind the
there
scenes
you go.
Stuff.
That's I think a lot of people are into
and
that kind of
it
thing.
Doesn't. It could be about photography. It could be about cooking. It could be about painting, I mean, whatever, right? As long as it's done in an interesting way. You can talk about somebody's favorite subject in a way that it bores the ever-loving hell out of them and they won't listen. So it just depends. So, but anyway, back to what I'm hearing is that you will apply, because I think the cutoff is Thursday, and you'll be there and you'll do the recap this weekend. Mm. Is that what everybody else is hearing?
Mm. That's what I heard.
Robert?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you heard? Is Cody going to do the recap this weekend?
Cody will be there.
Can I just sign up for like social media duty?
No one does ever run our social media during the game.
Can I just do? Yeah, because when I go there, I have to write the recap, so I'm not doing social media.
Aren't you watching the game at home? Couldn't you run the social media from your home?
Problem is that sometimes like 2 minutes later.
Yeah, but it's delayed.
Oh, so if a tweet is a minute late, I think the great tweets don't have to be like immediate, right? They can be a little something else, right? A little something special.
For those wondering,
but then, general, now you're applying so pressure. Specific. It has to be a great tweet.
For those wondering, yes, there you go. That's the key. But for those wondering where all of the great tweets went, Ben was the one that won. Like if you're like, man, they used to be really good on Twitter. It's Ben. He just stopped doing it. Yeah, we need Ben to be tweeting.
He's thinking about defecting to Atlanta.
I believe he was talking about, that was at Chicago, right?
Well, they were playing Chicago.
Why don't we have him on more? We need to get Ben on more. He's good.
I think he's like becoming an adult. I don't know if y'all remember, but he was like a teenager whenever he started working on this website. And now he's got a wife and he like has a real job and things. So I have those things too, but I just choose to ignore them.
God, adulting sucks.
And cover the Blue Testament.
All right, now that we've opened up the curtain for our fans.
So basically we've told them we can do a behind-the-scenes podcast like this. You want a Gam and Tam podcast, which David and I are down all day. What other weird podcast should we do?
Post-members club podcast after the game.
Yeah.
See, Cody, you show up at the game, we can do that.
We could try to get into that speakeasy that we hear rumor exists and do a podcast inside there.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the rumor of a speakeasy. I'm intrigued by that. And no, I would like to do post games from the Cauldron, but there's like approval issues there. I don't know if we can. And then if they win, it is literally impossible. Like if they won and there's drums and whatever, it would be impossible to record a podcast.
It wouldn't have to be.
Well, when you say from the Cauldron, I mean, do you mean actually in the stand?
The members stand.
You mean the members club?
The members club.
Okay,
because that's a lot different than the stand.
Like sitting on metal benches and
with no power.
There's no plug-in out there.
We can get an extension cord.
You know, they'll be turning off lights and mowing the grass. And
speaking of, can we kind of maybe end on this? We went to the KC Current game yesterday, Thad and I. And after the game, I always walk around the tunnel underneath to get out of the stadium. And Thad's like, come this way. And he takes me to, like I think, like a photo room that he works in. And then we walked on the field and the lights were out. It was so surreal. Mm. And it was just like, I feel like I'm not supposed
to
be here.
Hands?
The lights are out. There were a few lights on. And then I just wanted to comment on Victoria Pickett, Canadian international. She's out there. The stadium is empty down to just a couple fans. And she's sitting there still signing autographs, still engaging. Seems like a really awesome person.
She is.
Victoria Pickett.
Another name now Cody knows that plays for the Kansas City Current.
Added to the list. Super fan. Are we done here? Do we talk all we can about Sporting? Robert is giving me eyes about something.
We're ready to go. I think we're good.
He's picking up the bag. He's ready to get out of
here. Yeah,
Dad's got something.
No, I'm just like commenting that you're ready to, like, you're picking up that bag and getting out of here, man. Like, you're just so ready to go.
You know we don't just end a pod and then leave. Thad, you can't just leave with Thad. Thad'll stand here for the next 30 minutes talking about something. Well, I'll get our keys. It's a very Midwestern goodbye. Well, I'll pick up, we'll pack up, we'll walk outside, and then a conversation will start, and we'll be standing out there for 30 minutes.
Well, let's do it inside in the air conditioning.
One night after your place, Greenwald and I stood out there for so long, we ended up talking to the cops. They went and, like, arrested somebody, or they rousted some people, and then they came back and talked to us for, like, a half hour.
And I left my house to go get food and came back, and they were still there talking.
Yeah.
I've made fun of Thad with this before. No, no one can say goodbye like that. It is a long goodbye.
Oh, after games, when we walk to the parking lot together sometimes, my wife will call me probably 30, 40 minutes into us having a conversation in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, it's just about to leave.
Yeah, I got it. I'm trying to say bye to Thad.
Are you talking to Thad? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah.
That's just the excuse. Everyone should just know that that's the excuse. I'm talking to Thad. I'm hurrying up. I'm sorry.
Of course, at that point, I'm like, hey, you want another beer, Chad?
Yeah, he does yell in the background, get that stripper off of you. You know, stuff like that.
I didn't quite go that far.
Okay. Let's go ahead and wrap it up right here at 58 minutes for the pod. This is longer than we normally do.
I feel like an hour is a good amount of time for the podcast.
We had multiple games, lots of complaints.
Yeah, the worse they do, the more we have to talk about. Okay, go Sporting!
Yay!
again. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake, that's what I'm in. My foot patting's got me drinking. My foot patting's got me drinking. My foot patting's got me drinking.